Prestige Jayco pre-game interview.
Saturday night football, GMHBA Stadium, the Cats and the Blues at the MCG right now. Collingwood 73 leads St Kilda 36 with 10.5 minutes to play in the last quarter. Earlier today at Marvel Stadium, Sydney 10-11-71 over North Melbourne 8-12-60, breaking North Melbourne's unbeaten start to the season. Footy Spotlight, thanks to Rex Gorrell, of course, a true family business. Rex and his three sons, Paul, Brett and Jason. Lucky enough to be joined for the first time in season 2020. Usually we don't have to wait to June to talk to this man because he's usually been on K-Rock a couple of times and extolling the virtues about how the Cats are getting themselves out of debt and, you know, grandstands are being built. But COVID's thrown a few curveballs at this gentleman. Great to have him for Prestige Jayco, the CEO of the Cats, Brian Cook. Cookie, it's Kingy in the K-Rock box with Chuck Berry, Mark Neal and Benny Cass. Wonderful to be talking to you. Where are we talking to you right now? Are you in the ground or are you watching from your palatial abode down on the Surf Coast?
No, I'm in the car park at GMHBA Stadium, and I'm one of five spectators tonight. Myself and three other directors, and Stephen Wells is allowed to go and scout the opposition. So one of only a handful of spectators, as we were last week as well.
Cookie, it's been. The word unprecedented has been bandied around for the last 3.5 months. Can you, a CEO of a sporting club, can you take us through what it's been like for you? And I suppose in looking at the roadmap out and, you know, knowing that there's no guidebook to this?
Yeah, no, it's been unprecedented. A medical issue which is nationwide, worldwide. And, the thing I learned early days was that we didn't have the answers, and we had to really concentrate on the process, on just making sure we were collaborative. We end up having three pillars or three major aims that we thought we would work towards. One was retaining revenue, another was the mental and physical health of our staff, particularly our players, and the third area was around connection of all of our people, whether they were members or sponsors or staff. Those three things we concentrated on. We had to let go, or stand down, sorry, we had to stand down 100 of our staff, stand down all of our players, and we had a skeleton staff of 30 people. That's changed now with the return to train, then the return to play, and the skeleton staff have grew, and now we have around about 70 staff, which are still stood down, and we have about 60 or 70 staff, who are working, a skeleton staff, and everyone is part-time. Every one of those people is still part-time. And so that's where we are, and we'll be like this for another month or two, I would say. And then we'll have to start really digging in on what we do for 2021.
Yeah. So of those 70 staff that are still stood down, Cookie, I don't think you can guarantee that they're all coming back, can you?
Oh, I don't think you can guarantee it, that's for sure. I'd love to, we're still waiting on direction from the AFL in terms of targets or caps. We want to know what the soft cap will be. We think it'll go from 9.7 million down to just over 6. That's $3.5 million reduction. But apart from that, the total player payments will go down, I'm sure. On top of that, we will have a non-football ceiling for staff as well as operations. And so we've basically got four targets that we have to meet in order to survive, to be honest with you.
Brian, Darren Berry, thanks so much again for your time. You're always giving on K-Rock Footy, and it's interesting hearing all those type of things. And you've been around the game, I won't say longer than most, Brian. That'd be all respectful and disrespectful. But, we haven't seen anything like this before. And some have been doomsdayers saying footy will never recover. What's your outlook moving forward, not just from a Geelong perspective? That's obviously where most of our listeners are interested. But the bigger picture of AFL as we know it, Cookie, I mean, no doubt you've had many nights pouring over all this stuff.
Yeah, well, no one knows the answer. It's like a lot of things at the moment. But best guess for me, with using my experience and those things, is I think it'll take. We'll get through this. We'll get back to where we are now. Maybe in 3-4 years' time is my guess. Okay, it's not going to happen in a year or 2 years.
Yep.
Okay. It's probably 3 or 4 years. I think we'll. We will still be going through some really financial problems next year, because I'm not so sure what percentage of members and corporates will remain. That's probably the best guess for me. The one thing I found that I've discovered about this situation is it's hard to actually make a decision because most of the options aren't good options, you know.
Yep.
You're picking the best out of a bad bunch. And so you're forever doing that at the moment. And, we've just got to keep making sure that, you know, we're patient, we're tolerant, we continue to push our people to get members to leave their money with us as well as the corporates. And the members have been absolutely unbelievably generous. I think at the moment we've been able to retain something like 70% of their income at this stage, you know, and that is just fantastic.
You probably answered it, to be honest, and I'll hand you over to Mark Neild and Benny Cass. But a couple of members are tweeting in earlier and saying, you know, we're stage five at. King and I were talking about it off air. When are we going to get to enjoy the facilities? Again, how long's a piece of string with what's going on at the moment? But, you know, you said you've kept a fair bit of them, and one of your pillars was connection. How has that been with the membership base? Because there'll be a lot of them tuning in tonight.
Yeah, no, it's been outstanding. We've tried to keep in touch with our members, mainly through, you know, the e-commerce and website and SMSs and emails, all those things. We were looking at probably a $10 million debt for the year around about 6-7 weeks ago.
Wow.
As of 2 weeks ago, that came down to 5. And primarily because of the membership retention revenue, which is just that we budget for about to keep a bit more than a half, and at the moment, as I said before, it's getting up around 70%. And so, you know, every 5% is nearly $1 million for us. So, and we've got a lot of other plans in place to try and raise more dollars. We're just doing our best. My hope is that by the end of the year, we can be as close to cash neutral as possible. It's probably an impossible task, but it's a really stretched task that we've given each other at executive level and at board level, and it would be just unbelievable if we come out cash neutral.
For Prestige Jayco, Australia's number one motorhome dealer, speaking with Geelong CEO Brian Cook. He's Mark Neild on K-Rock Footy.
Brian, good luck tonight for your team. Just listening to you, clearly, you know, there's so much uncertainty around everything, particularly, you know, AFL land. How difficult is it to get the players, the coaching group, and the other staff that are there, that are with you at the moment, to concentrate on the task at hand right now? And are there any different things that you've, as a club, put in place to enable them to do that?
Yeah. All of our coaches are working. That's important to note at the moment. They're all part-time. Everyone's part-time. Chris Scott right through. And that's all 8 coaches. I think we're the only club that have done that, but we started with a smaller number. So in terms of coaches, our connection has been pretty good, and they're all back. There's a lot of others that aren't back, and they're the ones you're referring to more than anything, Mark, I think. And what we've tried to do, we've set up all sorts of things for them, podcasts, mental health sessions, physical sessions. We have provided free meals to those that are still stood down. We've tried to create regular link-ups through Zoom with 30 and 40 at a time. So we do all those types of things just to try and keep them involved. It's impossible to keep everyone comfortable and satisfied and engaged to the level they want to be engaged through this. But we're doing our best. I think people acknowledge that.
Brian,
Yep.
You mentioned there's 5 of you at the ground tonight. Two questions. A, have you worked out which goals you'll sit behind? And B, who's got the Narkle Sparkle sign, and who's going to be having the I Love Selwood sign?
Yeah, no, one decision I've made here is that I just don't like the faces around the ground, the stick faces. To me, I don't know. I just don't like it. Anyway, I've had a little bit of opposition internally, but at the moment I'm winning. I hope I keep winning on this one. I would much prefer if it was Selwood 300 to have 300 Selwood faces around the place, you know, instead of maybe people that I don't particularly know. But anyway, that's a personal opinion.
You've been winning for 20 years, Brian, so I'm sure you'll keep on winning. Player contracts, you've spoken about the uncertainty about all things footy, AFL and at Clubland. How does it leave you in terms of the negotiation process of contracts with players going forward?
Is that you, Ben?
Yes.
Yeah, good day, mate. How are you? We're not allowed to, we've been told we're not to negotiate at the moment. So we haven't been able to negotiate player contracts for about 2 months. We know what the total player payments are next year.
Right. So is there a time frame on that? Because I'd imagine that you'd like to sort of get things moving with certain players and managers and all sorts of things. Do you have any time frame in your own mind as to when that process might start?
Sooner the better, mate. I'm hoping the AFL will give us that within a couple of weeks, and that is the soft cap and the total player payments next year, which means we know what we need to do with both players and staff and with our VFL team, which is really important as well, which again determines the number of staff you keep. So all those decisions need to be made by the AFL, and we hope it's made sooner rather than later.
Just a word from yourself on the debut tonight of Jack Stephen for the Cats.
Oh, no, it's a wonderful story, isn't it? A guy who comes in as a close to 30-year-old, he's had a few issues. You'd say that again twice, and he's now ready to play for us. I think it's a fantastic story. I think it's a credit to our team that have got him to play at this stage after what he's gone through, and so we're looking forward to a debut at his ripe old age tonight, and hopefully he plays well.
Brian, you're obviously aware of the situation today, Essendon and Melbourne being postponed. As a club CEO, when you hear that, how do you react when you find, well, obviously for the first time, we've got a COVID case among a player, but what was your reaction today to that news?
Well, you search for the significance of it and what the implications are, really. That's what you do. It's another issue you just have to deal with, and it adds to the others. But you just hope that this is an isolated incident and it doesn't spread, and it hasn't spread to the stage with anyone else or any other group. So, you stay resilient and you just wish for the best, honestly, and you put together a few strategies that might work.
The players this week were given the chance now to go back to playing golf and going fishing and going surfing and the like. Have the club given them that opportunity? I'm guessing club by club, some might say, look, we'd prefer you to limit your time out of the house just to limit community transmission and the like and the potential of. But has Geelong been able to give a bit more rein to their players to do that?
Yeah, we simply follow the advice we get from the health experts, mate, and whatever they say, we follow. They're the experts on this. We're not. I noticed today the restrictions are tightened again, and you can't have a party of more than five, so that might restrict a few of the activities of the players for the next month or so. Who knows?
Yep. Talking the number five, stage five, and Darren Berry and I spoke about it earlier, but I suspect that all hinges now on when the T20 World Cup is, and then I suppose the funding that might not and may come or might not come as a result of COVID-19 and the financial implications for governments.
Yeah, no, we're still very confident the stage five is going to happen. It's probably going to be a little bit later than we originally thought. It won't happen until after the T20 World Cup. I don't think that'll happen this year now. And so, therefore, it looks as though we will probably commence stage five at the end of next year. And by that stage, also, I think that we will have had the adequate budget to complete stage five.
You and I spoke within hours of the season being called off, Cookie, and I asked you the question, did it change your thoughts on your future at the club? You contracted until the end of 2021, and you said, gee, it's too early for that, and it was probably a silly question at the time, but with 3 months to think about it, and as you said, this is going to be a 3 or 4 year process, and then obviously stage five being pushed back, do you reconsider your future and think, well, maybe I need to ride this out with the club I've been with since 1999?
No. My issue is that my contract goes to the end of 21. At that stage, I think that'll be it for me. The next 18 months is really important. We just have to make sure that we get through this. And my role is really to see the club not only get through this, but to start to grow again. And then I can feel quite happy about leaving.
Brian, it's Darren Berry again. You'll understand where this silly question's coming from, and you can just play a straight bat or turn me to fine leg if you like. But you're obviously highly respected in this industry, and you've been through many ups and downs. There's another organisation that probably has a fair bit of my background in it, looking for a CEO at the moment. Is that a challenge on your radar, or Cricket Australia looking for a CEO, Brian? I reckon your name might have been thrown around.
It may have been thrown around a few years back, mate. It's not being thrown around now. I'm hell bent on making sure that Geelong gets through this. So no, I'm not part of that, mate. No.
Okay. Ford bat and pad was very close together there. Could not sneak anything through.
One man that we know is departing, and Colin Carter has reiterated that 2020 will be his last year as president of the Geelong Football Club after a decade in charge. Or leading the club, Cookie, is there been discussion about who will be his successor?
No, not in recent times, mate. No, it's again, you know, we haven't focused on that. That hasn't been a key issue. It hasn't been a priority at this stage. No, look, it may be that some of the directors are talking amongst themselves on that, which I fully would understand, and they may be, you know, talking about timing themselves, but not with me, and that's very normal.
Yep. Next block of fixtures, which is expected to only be rounds 6 and 7, maybe due early next week. Have you been given any hint of where you may be playing your next couple of games beyond round 5, Cookie?
No, not at all yet, King. Yeah, I think they're having a lot of issues with the restrictions in South Australia and West Australia. And I think they're really struggling to get even the next two rounds of fixtures out by Tuesday night. That's my understanding.
Mm. Okay, I believe though, Chris Scott did say, and I'm guessing you back him up, that the Cats would be happy to go into a hub if you had to, whether it be in Adelaide or in WA to get a couple of games away.
Yeah, or in Queensland. Yeah, if that's, I think we all have to play our turn. I mean, I do feel for the West Australian sides at the moment. You wouldn't want them to do three clusters in a row, for instance. So I think that would be mayhem. So I think we all have to put our hands up to play in a cluster when it's our turn.
Well, Brian, look, I know you've got to fight a massive crowd to get into
you better
the
let him go.
Car park. We better let you go. You've got the choice of 36,000 seats, so I hope you make it a good choice, and it is a lucky choice, and the Cats have got the 4 points in the bag, and you're 2-1 at the end of round 3. We really appreciate your time, as always. You've led the club magnificently through, well, there's been some dark periods during your tenure, including when you got here in 1999, but I don't think you ever thought global pandemic would be on the... surely when you sign your contract, it doesn't state anything about guiding a club through that.
No, it doesn't, mate. No, nor did it in 99. You know, we had a $7 million debt in 99, which is $21 million today. And, you know, I'm talking about $5 million at the moment. So in terms of a financial issue, 99 was much more difficult than it is at the moment, without underplaying what's going on, of course, right now.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job either way, Cookie. We really appreciate your time as always, and may the boys get the 4 points tonight, and things start to look a little bit rosier when it comes to football over the coming weeks. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, guys. Have a good call. See ya.
Brian Cook joining us from the car park here at GMHBA Stadium, covering a mountain of topics in an extensive chat. We really do appreciate Brian joining us. Thanks to Prestige Jayco. Of course, you can find them on the Bellarine Highway at Newcombe. They are Australia's number one motorhome dealer.
Prestige Jayco, pre-game interview.